Every year in September, the game fishing fleet sets out in search of the elusive and magnificent black marlin. It's a big fish, and the industry built around it makes a big contribution to the Far North Queensland economy.
Yeah, my name's Luke Fallon. I'm the captain of the Kikawa, which is a 56-foot custom-built game fishing boat. And currently we're in the Cairns Marina loading up all our stores for the coming season.
Yeah, well, when you're sitting here on the wharf watching the activity go on around you, it's not hard to start doing the sums and realise what a boost this is to the local economy of Cairns.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. You know, just this marlin season, the number of charter boats and recently over the years, a lot bigger influx of private boats. Yeah, a lot of fuel, motels, restaurants, eating out at night time, marina berths, $1,800 a month or something to park the boat here, So it's tens of millions of dollars that gets brought into the region just for this short 2 month season. And it's a sustainable industry too. We've been catching and releasing marlin for 50 years out here, and I've been doing it for 30, and can honestly say that it's hard to tell any difference in the fishing. It's some years are better than others, but as a whole, the fishing still hangs in there, and it's definitely sustainable, and 50 years proves it.
Luke Fallon knows his success is measured by the size of the black marlin he finds. To tag and release a 1,000-pounder is the dream of every angler, and they'll pay up to $3,500 a night for the thrill of the chase.
It is a pretty high pressure. People think, you just go on fishing and you're on a boat and how good's that, but there's a lot of stress and a lot of pressure and, a lot of expectation. I always tell them that they're not always here, and I always say, look, they're an extremely hard fish to catch when there's none around, so you can only do what you can do, and, when they're there, you catch them, and when they're not there, they are harder to catch. So the hardest bit is fishing around a number of boats or the fleet of boats during the season. For the whole marlin season, there's probably 20-odd, charter boats, and there might be 30 or 40 boats out there fishing every day. And some days, well, most days, you're fishing around other boats. And some days, they're catching all the marlin and you're not. And that's a lot of stress, and that makes life hard. But it all goes around. Next day, you go out there and you catch them and they don't. So you just got to roll with it and take the good with the bad.
So help me visualise it. Throwing the ropes and you're behind this wheel. How do you feel?
Oh, excited. Yeah, excited for the season ahead, because there's no real indication of what the season's going to be like coming up. There's a lot of theories and, everyone's got a bit of an idea, but, in fact, no one knows what the season's going to be like until it's all done and dusted. So obviously that expectation of, it's going to be a good season, it's excitement, basically. We've just been waiting for it all year and it's come back around again.
Is there freedom up here?
No, not really. When we're fishing and when we're out there every day, we start our season on Thursday and we work every day for, I think, close to 80 days without a day off. So that entails at the end of each week, we've got to restore with, food and drinks, laundry needs doing, the boat needs washing, and that all has to be done, between the hours of 6 in the afternoon and 7 in the morning, and then we're back out there and into it again. And your whole life for that period's devoted to the boat, the safety of the passengers and finding the fish. So, I tell my crew, when they get on board and they're working for us, leave your life behind, because your life's here now and really nothing else exists. And you don't have time to it. There's just not enough time in the day to kick back and read a book or go and spend a couple hours on social media or something like that, because when you're on the boat, you're working pretty much 24 hours a day, and if you're not working, you're sleeping.
You're ruining all my illusions of life aboard a luxury game fish boat.
Oh, it has its mate. It's good and bad. It's like anything. Some days you just wish you were doing anything but and would rather be anywhere else in the world, but mostly you couldn't think of anywhere better to be, and it's an unbelievable experience, and like I said, 30 years I've been doing it for, so it can't be too bad.
There's no doubt the 56-foot custom-built Kikawa is at the top of her game. It's something the captain says can only really be appreciated from high above her deck.
Yeah, so where we are now is a fly bridge, and a lot of boats, this is where it ends. They just have a fly bridge with a hard top and just one driving position. But on this particular boat and quite a few other marlin boats, they have a marlin tower, or originally they were called a tuna tower. It originated back in Bimini in the Bahamas. But it's just an aluminium or stainless steel teepee, basically, that's on top of your boat. And it just gives you an extra height advantage. So it's, yeah, like 30 feet off the ground, and it's a small area up there. But that's, you know, when we're fishing, I'll spend 10 hours a day for 80 days straight up there. And that's my little home for, you know, for a few months.
We'll did go this side, I think it's easier.
Wow, okay, now I see what you mean. This is quite a vantage point you've got up here.
Yeah, it's an awesome spot, and to be able to see the reef up here on a calm day, it's unbelievable. And you know, all the years I've been up here, there are some days when we're in behind the reef out, particularly the outer reefs on the ribbons, the view up here is just so spectacular. You know, even now, many times I've seen it, I'm still in awe of it and still think, you know, that's pretty awesome.
But of course, you're not here for the scenery. What are you looking for when you're up here for 10 hours a day scanning the horizon?
Mostly marlin. You know, you also look for tunas and, you know, bait fish and things like that. And being on such a height advantage here, you can see the corners and points on reefs. You know, reefs aren't just a round object or a round structure. They've got points and holes and little areas where the marlin hang out. And up here, you can see that so much better. And I can literally see the marlin come up and take one of our baits, and I can even, you know, from here, most times I can see whether that's swallowed it or dropped it or you know, whatever. So having the height advantage, it's pretty awesome. And, you know, we fish late, you know, late in the day as well. So coming behind the reef, you know, late in the afternoon, you know, we can see all the coral bommies and stuff like that to get up into the anchorage. So it makes it a lot safer too.
How difficult is it to pick small movements on the horizon?
Up here, anything that breaks the surface is quite easy. But being higher up here, it's harder to see birds because they're generally below the horizon. But, you know, on a real calm day, you know, I can see a single solitary tuna, you know, bust on the surface, probably a couple of miles away.
Back below in the galley, Kelly Dalling is busily preparing for her 11th consecutive season in the Coral Sea. She grew up in a marlin fishing family and is one of only a handful of women to work full-time in the industry.
Well, there's nowhere else that you can guarantee a 1,000-pound black marlin like you can in Cairns. I'm not saying that every person coming here is going to catch one, but they are caught here every year, every week of every year during the marlin season, and there's just nowhere else that you can do that in the world. These are black marlin. Obviously there's other fisheries with blue marlin, for example. Hawaii is just winding up their season at the moment, but if you want to catch a black marlin, this is the place to do it. So that first 1,000-pound fish is the fish that opened the world's fishermen's eyes to Cairns as a destination, and it has never let us down since.
What makes the black marlin so prestigious?
Oh, I think that it's no more prestigious than a blue marlin. If you're into big game fishing, then you'll chase both definitely. But they do have different behaviour. The blue marlin, I don't think, are as acrobatic, aerobatic, visual on the leader. For example, the blue marlin tend to fight really hard and down and deep, and the black marlin are more likely to stay up and greyhound and dance on the surface. So for photographers like me, black marlin is a dream fish. I would prefer to have the weather that they have in Hawaii, where they fish in the lee of the island, and so they have that nice weather, because we certainly don't have that here, and it's hard to keep a camera still when you're bouncing around in 25 knots. But yeah, the black marlin, like I said, you know, 1,000-pound black marlin, that is the pinnacle of the sport.
What about with all of these serious anglers on board? I'm imagining that someone's got to catch supper, or no one's looking for any of the reef fish that everyone else is going out there to look for.
Well, like I said, these fish do tend to keep gentlemen's hours. So in the morning, we'll get up nice and early, and depending on the clients, you know, what they want to do. But we'll probably won't start big marlin fishing until 10:30, 11 o'clock. So we have those morning hours to go for a snorkel, go for a spearfish, go for a bait fish, go for a reef fish, pop a fish for GTs. We've got it all here. You can do everything that you want to do in terms of fishing during the big marlin season. It's the best place in the world to fish. without a doubt.
A member of the Cairns Professional Game Fishing Association, Kelly Dalling Fallon, has attracted thousands of followers who live vicariously through her black marlin blog.
Well, it's man versus beast, really. It's we use big tackle and they're big fish. And so even the guys that come back year in, year out will spend a certain amount of time before they get back on the boat working on their arms, for example. It can be an endurance thing. Obviously, from the sustainability point of view, we're trying to release these fish as quickly as possible in the best possible condition. So the best anglers are the ones that can match the fish for power and get them to the boat quickly. So it... you know, in the beginning, you might see the fish come up on the bait, and sometimes you don't, and you don't know how big it is until it's jumping across the horizon. And that's, you know, for everybody on board, that's a eye opener. That's the excitement when you see that fish jumping for the first time. And we do some, these boats are pretty cool. We do some amazing backwards manoeuvring and all sorts of things. But it's really that thrill. And our boys on the deck, when they get the fish on the leader, we can have a fish, it's like walking the dog almost, you know, the leader to the fish, and the fish jumping out of the water 10 foot from the leader man's hand. It's definitely very, very, very exciting.
For those that aren't involved in the industry, though, there is that perception of cruelty, of capturing something wild and magnificent. There are people that would prefer that those animals stayed in that environment and were untouched. What do you say to them?
This sport has a great history and brings a lot of money through tourism to the region, not only directly to us as operators, but through to the hotels, the supermarkets. Everyone day to day in Cairns will be touched by this industry in some way, shape or form. We do, as I said, our goal is to release the fish in the best possible condition, and fishing in Australia is basically a national pastime, so we're going to enjoy it and do our very best to see the future of the industry.